All right, welcome back to another episode of Kang Collects. As always, I appreciate everyone for listening, the support, the downloads, the subscriptions. As you know, I'm going to say it again. I say it every time at the beginning of every episode. Odyssey, you know, Google Play, Amazon, Apple, wherever you get your download or wherever you get your podcasts, you can download this podcast there as well, Kang Collects. As you guys know, when I started this podcast, I was telling everybody, if you can collect it, I'll talk about it. We've been talking a lot about sports cards lately, but we've done episodes on Funko Pops, toys, and other things, shoes as well. This episode is going to be totally different. I didn't expect to do this episode, but the tagline, you know, it reigns true. If you can collect it, I'll talk about it. And today we're going to talk about things you can collect, collectibles from the movie industry, movie theaters, where you go to the movies and watch movies. You can collect things. And I'm going to bring on this week's guest right now, Dante Reisman, the food and beverage director at Imagine Entertainment, located, I mean, he's local right here in Michigan. Dante, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you, Kang. Thanks for having me.
I love collectibles, as everyone knows, and I love going to see movies and things like that. So why not combine the two? I did not realize, though, and maybe it's just because I didn't look into it and no one informed me or educated me that, you know, of course, why wouldn't things at movie theaters be collectible? And Dante, you reached out to me and told me, hey, this is actually an industry that people are into. And here in Michigan, we actually have more to offer maybe than some other places across America.
Yeah, and I'd say it's a much newer area for collectibles. Over the last 2 years, it's really been exploding, not only amongst the collectors themselves, but the amount of collectibles we're able to order. There's two major players and a couple minor players in this when it comes to suppliers. And they just keep coming out with more and more interesting premium items that guests are really clamoring for.
So, like, what would people want to collect and maybe find valuable when they go to the movies?
So these days we have anything from when it comes to big movie releases. We have a really big one coming in July with Deadpool 3, which is a good, or Deadpool and Wolverine, which is a good example of all of the kinds of items we have. We'll have posters for that. We'll have keychains. We'll have three different popcorn containers, two of them being what I would consider premium, which come with a premium price tag. But it is one of those things where we never try to gouge our guest on that. So when you do see a high price point, it's because that thing costs us a lot of money to get from the supplier. And then we also have beverage containers as well. And for that movie in particular, we'll have two different beverage containers.
Yeah, that's actually a huge blockbuster that's come out this summer. So I thought this was the perfect time to do this. Summer's officially starting, you know, this week, and people are going to want, I mean, we're heading through a heat wave right now, not just in Michigan, but across America. So people are going to probably maybe want to go indoors and feel some air conditioning and be entertained for a couple hours. And the summertime is usually when a lot of these blockbuster movies come out, and with blockbuster movies come out, swag and merchandise comes with it. And the fact that, you know, when you go to the movies and you can purchase not just popcorn, but you get to keep the container, you know, and those things, those are cool collectibles and things to have. I mean, people that listen to this podcast, we go to a lot of sporting events and we keep the cups and we keep certain things like that. Same thing applies with movies. So you mentioned the Deadpool and Wolverine. What are some other big movies that are going to be coming out this summer that people can look forward to if they don't already know?
So last week was the biggest hit so far this year with Inside Out 2, which is a Pixar animation, part of Disney's Goliath industry. And that was extremely popular, especially on the collectibles front. From our location, we actually sold out within the first few hours, first few showings of all of our collectibles that day. We also have Moana 2 coming later this year. Beetlejuice, which is the highly anticipated sequel. And from the behind the scenes stuff we've seen in the industry, it looks fantastic. Mufasa, The Lion King, Sonic 3. And I think we might have a sleeper hit in Borderlands, which is based on a video game series, which also already has a good amount of collectibility behind it. Whenever you go to GameStop, you can usually find Borderlands stuff still. And that video game's been around for decades with multiple sequels. So we definitely have an exciting year throughout with other movies like Venom 3 still mixed in there. The Joker in October. And we're just from now through next year, we should see just tons of great movies coming out. Now that the actors' strike was over, we had multiple strikes to deal with last year after coming out of COVID. So there was a lot going on where people were thinking the worst for movie theaters, but it's actually, we're in a really awesome spot that we're very bullish on with all of the great content about to hit.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So like when, like what can people, what does Imagine offer? Like, do you guys offer all the posters? And obviously you offer like the popcorn buckets and things like that. But I mean, what do you guys offer for merchandise for that customers can come in and buy?
So as a collector myself, I've been collecting stuff since I was a kid, whether it was sports cards, Magic the Gathering, different figure collectibles and stuff. So I have quite a bunch of stuff throughout my life that I've collected and have in storage containers in mint condition, as any true collector will do.
Yeah, right. It's hard to keep it temperature that way,
controlled. But it really gives me a unique eye, I think, when it comes to movie theater buyers. Where I look for the highest quality items that we can get. I know that you might be able to get a certain item from a competitor that I'm not carrying, but the reason I'm not carrying it is might be that I found the materials too cheap that they used when I saw the prototypes. I didn't like the way the characters were represented in it. They didn't have the really popular characters in it. So when you come to Imagine, you're going to get the best possible collectibles that we could purchase at that time for any of these movies. Definitely our popcorn containers will be the most popular, with the drink containers being the second. We do have movie posters for the biggest releases, though that's also a newer aspect for us as a whole. So we are a little apprehensive on that still, but every time we've brought them in, we've sold them out. So it looks like something that we're going to continue to do. And then dolls have done really well with us, plush dolls, which for me, I really didn't see that one, but we bring these dolls in even for a movie like If, which wasn't a huge movie. Our plush items for that sold really well. And when it comes to the collectible side, you're not seeing a lot of those hit eBay yet. And I do believe that it's because all of these kids want it, so they're buying it and not giving it up. So we haven't seen a lot, but if you actually do decide to buy some and sell some, I really think you could flip those pretty easily if you're into that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, eBay is probably, that was one of my next questions going to be, how do you find out how much something is worth? But I guess you could just put it on eBay and let the market decide what someone's willing to pay for something. And then if kids are keeping it, you got to imagine the less that hit the market, the more it's going to, you know, someone's willing to pay for it, because there just aren't many available, right?
And that's exactly right. If you look at the Dune popcorn bucket that AMC had, there's sales from June 15th that I'm looking at right now that sold for about $90, $80, $90, where I'm sure that popcorn bucket cost about $30 to the person who bought it. So you're easily, you're generally easily able to double your money on the really collectible IPs out there.
That's really cool. So I mean, forgive my ignorance and maybe the audience that's listening too. So each theater, you know, company or whatever, do you guys offer different containers and different drink cups and things like that?
Yes and no. Okay. So sometimes if a company can do enough volume, sell enough, then they can get an exclusive item, which is how AMC did get that Dune popcorn bucket. But a lot of times we are selling, we do have the option to purchase the same items at some point. And once those items sell out, you can't get any more. So when I'm purchasing, I'm usually doing it about 3 to 6 months in advance. If I wait till that 3 month mark, I'm going to run into a lot of stuff being sold out. So in the Midwest, I would say right now, I don't think any of our competitors match the kind of stuff we bring in yet. But if you go to other parts of the country, you might see the same stuff that I decided to purchase with another West Coast chain or something. But they're very limited supply for us for the most part.
That's awesome. So there are like exclusives for AMC, MJR, Imagine, and things like that, right? Like that you might not be able to get at a different theater.
Yeah, and particularly for Imagine, we are working on getting more exclusives in the future. So we will be hopefully being able to bring those to our guests soon, where it's just at Imagine.
All right. So yeah, be on the lookout for that, people. Imagine we'll have certain exclusive merchandise and, you know, buckets and cups and things like that. So be on the lookout for that. So you mentioned like West Coast and things like that. So are there regional items, exclusive items as well, too, depending on what part of the country you live in?
It's not always just dependent on the region. It depends on the buying power. So we are in the top 10 largest chains in the U.S. So we have a higher buying power than a lot of chains that do not have the amount of screens we do and amount of seats we do and the amount of amazing returning guests that we do. So that really impacts what they can do, not only how many collectibles they can bring in, because we have to have volume there and people coming through the doors in order to make sure that we sell out of these things. That's actually a really important part of it, because for us, once a movie run has been done, it's going to be very hard to move those collectibles. So there's a weird little thing that happened earlier this year where Transformers, which is a really highly collectible intellectual property, as any of us that grew up in the 80s know, 90s, Transformers has been around for our entire lives.
Yeah.
There was a 40th anniversary recently for them of the 80s movie that I loved as a kid. And we had about four of our locations that purchased collectibles for this re-showing. And I didn't expect them to sell out because a lot of people didn't know about this show coming back. But I know that we have a Transformers movie coming in the in November, I believe, with Transformers 1. And that's going to be an origin story. So I bought these knowing that we're probably not going to sell them out until Transformers 1. But I really think that these have a high collectible potential. And if people know about them, which through your podcast, they might find out.
Yeah.
We might be in the unfortunate, but fortunate situation of them selling out before Transformers 1 hits, because it's a really cool artwork. It's the original artwork that they used with the toys and promotion of the toys in the 80s with a 40th anniversary logo on it. So I do expect those to sell out once Transformers 1 hits, but they are currently available, but it's sort of one of those undercover things right now until Transformers 1 comes out.
That's cool. Good to know, people. See, the inside information you get when you download and listen to the podcast that others might not get. So you mentioned buying power and purchasing. What are there limited, I guess in cards, they call them print runs, okay? And they'll print run 1,000, you know, or 10,000 or whatever, or they don't release a print run. How does that work in the movie industry with your buying power? Do you guys ever release how much you purchase? And I'm sure there's times when you say, hey, there are only going to be 10,000 Taylor Swift popcorn buckets. I don't know, you know? And so what is how does that work in the movie industry?
So it really depends on the manufacturer and what levels they set for them. There are manufacturers out there that'll do as few as 5,000 items, but most of them do about 15 to 25,000, I would say. And then once those are sold out, there's no more produced because they are expensive to produce. So there's no reason to go back and make those. That's why when I mentioned I have to buy 3 to 6 months in advance, I really want to get my orders in closer to that 6 month or as soon as they're available rather than the latter. Wicked is a great example. Wicked in November is going to be a huge movie. And if you've ever lived with someone like my wife, who absolutely loves Wicked the musical, you do, and have talked to any of these people, you know that they're nuts for this stuff. And there's not a lot of merchandise out there for Wicked. Yes, there you can find some Wicked the musical t-shirts, you can find some posters, but really beyond that, there's not a lot out there. So about a couple weeks ago, Wicked for me went on sale. So I grabbed a bunch of it. Beyond right now, Deadpool is our number one most collectible items we're bringing in. And Wicked is my number two because of the limited availability of that stuff. But I needed to lock that in to make sure we got everything we wanted out of those items.
Yeah, wow, that's good to know. I mean, I don't know why it didn't click to me before about, you know, movie theater popcorn buckets and cups and things like that. But then, you know, recently the Taylor Swift Eras tour came out and it was released in theaters, right? And my wife, you know, one of the gazillion people that went and saw and stuff. And she came back. She told me, yeah, they're selling popcorn buckets, but they're like this expensive. I couldn't believe it. And she said, not only were they that expensive, they sold out. You know, like I couldn't even get one if I wanted one by the time I went to the front. And I said, wow, that's crazy. And so I don't know why I didn't think of this, but that right there should have told me, wow, there must be a market for this. You know, like that. I mean, that's like the Swifties. I thought maybe, okay, those are just crazed fans, but really this goes beyond like, you know, a Taylor Swift fan. This is like, cause if you see some of these buckets, people and these cups, that they're not just, they're plastering a picture on something. Now they're really creative and really cool looking too.
One of the coolest buckets we had, and this is really the catalyst for our company really understanding the importance of bringing in these premiums for our guests, was from the Dungeons and Dragons movie last year, which wasn't considered a box office hit. It didn't do bad. It made its money back, and I think it made a little more than its money back in its run, theatrical run. But we brought in at the time it was our most expensive collectible we ever brought in, and we sold it for less than we should have, but it was a molded dragon's head that would open the top of the head and the popcorn would go inside of it. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, this thing is really cool. We'll sell this. So I brought in like a case to each location. That movie, the studios, again, we're still in recovery period from COVID. So they were doing a lot of, and they weren't sure how this intellectual property was going to do. So they were doing a lot of early screenings for it. And every early screening I had, I kept selling out of the product. So since it wasn't that popular of an IP, it was a really weird situation where I was able to go to my supplier and go, hey, I need more of these. Hey, I need more of these. And I did that like three times within 2 weeks. And I just said, give me everything you have left and I will sell them when the movie actually officially opens. And sure enough, we sold through a ton of those. And what it showed me was it doesn't necessarily matter as much if the movie's going to be over $100 million opening weekend. It more matters about the IP, how people, I'm sorry, IP, intellectual property is what I mean by that for people who don't understand when I say IP. But it matters to what the guest feels for that IP, and the IPs that can span generations, like Garfield was a recent nice hit here for us in the movie industry. And those collectibles went out the door, you know, quicker than we could get to day two on that. And that's what we're seeing, is it doesn't matter the big opening release on it. It just matters that people love this item and it has a history of it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was wondering, is it only blockbuster movies are, you know, the collectibles are worth anything, or is it maybe the under the radar indie type film that no one knows about? I mean, no, it's kind of like what people want. And that's with any collectibles, with cards, whatever. You'd be surprised that something could be really rare, but if no one wants it, then it's just not worth as much. But if it's something that the people want, then that's when the value of the item is, you know, factored in.
And that dragon head in particular that I brought up, I've seen fluctuating on eBay between $80 and $100, $110 when people are selling it on the secondary market. Whereas, you know, when we originally sold it at Imagine, it was only $25 or $28 maybe, but I think it was $25. And you could easily make your money back on that.
That's awesome. So, I mean, if I came in there and I wanted to buy, you know, that particular bucket or something else, could I say, hey, I don't want any popcorn in it. Can you just leave it in the plastic wrap or just give it to me empty or whatever?
Yeah. So we offer a few different ways to purchase it. One is obviously putting the popcorn in the vessel. But the second and one of the most popular options is to just give me the vessel the way it is. Sometimes they're individually bagged. Depends on which manufacturer is making it. But the guest wants it in the most pristine condition they can have it, and they just keep it as that collectible item. And we give them a paper bag of popcorn on the side in place of the popcorn that would have gone into the bag.
All right. Good to know. Do you know if does it make it more or less valuable if it's been used or not? I mean, this is, you know, it's not like an action figure where you can keep it in the case where you know for sure, but how's it work?
I would say with any collectible, people want it as new as possible. So yes, keeping the oil that will be hard to get out will probably reduce the secondary market value. But I would also say if you used it once and washed it, you can probably still get good money for whatever, as long as it's something people want.
Yeah. I could just say only used once on frozen cherry, you know, like when I'm selling a cup or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned COVID, pandemic, all this stuff. What about streaming? Just to talk about the movie industry a little bit, how has it affected you guys with Hulu, Netflix, both having releasing movies straight to people's homes essentially? And I know that you guys can release them and they can release them in theaters as well. Has this been good, bad? Just how has that affected you guys?
Well, it's never, I would never call it good, but the good thing that has come out of it is the studios tried it and realized that that is not the way for them to maximize the money they're making. So they stopped doing the day to date, which was the dual release. The best example of that I can give off the top of my head would be Dune. Dune 1 opened in theaters and on Max streaming at the same time. And I believe at theaters it made its money back barely. So I know we were at the point where I really liked the movie and I was worried that they weren't going to make a second one for a week or two before they announced that, sure, we're going to do the second one. Second one, they didn't do that with. They released it and it was before this past week, and I believe it was the highest grossing movie of this year. So it's the studios realized their mistake with that. And they've definitely gone the other way on it. But I will say there is a lot of good content that will still sometimes Amazon Studio has been working with us, and I don't know if it's an exclusive thing because I don't work on the film side like my colleagues, but they will come to us and have us do sometimes a day where we show their movie that will be on it for people who want to see it in the theater. For a weekend or whatnot, and so that's cool that they're doing that. I do think that the more movies we have available that are good, that make people want to see movies, is a good thing in general. So I may not be as negative on it as other colleagues of mine.
So Dante, when you were mentioning earlier, there's posters available and keychains and whatnot. Are these like something people can see when they walk in, or something they have to ask for? Are they, it's not like you have a showcase or something.
So one of the things about movie theaters that are staying on top of things and evolving is we don't really have cookie cutter locations. We try as much as we may, but when we're going in and taking over an out of business grocery store or buying out a theater that previously wasn't ours, we have to work within the confines of the walls we have. So we don't have a standard display across the company where I can say, hey, look here, you're going to find it here. But we are working on individual displays that make sense for each of our locations. That being said, we do announce on social media, on all of our social medias and internally on our digital menu boards. We will have ads for everything up. So that's a great way to see everything we are offering if you have the time to stare at the ad screens. Otherwise, just, they should have them on display somewhere within the queue. And if not, you can just ask them, hey, what kind of collectibles do you have right now? And our team will happily let you know, show them, and maybe in some instances let you feel them. Some of our locations even will display. I know our Novi location in particular has a nice display in their line. So if you just want the cups, you can just basically do a grab and go with the cups. You grab the cup, take it to the register, and pay for it. We can't do that with food items because we are filling them and following all of our guidelines on food safety. So we can't do that with the popcorn items, but cup items we can have in grab and go spots for guests to make it easier for them to find.
Cool. That's good to know. Yeah, I mean, if you don't, you just ask people if you don't see it or don't know. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah, you never know
Question.
what is behind the counter.
Exactly. I'm gonna do it now next time I go. I'm not kidding about that. What about the the cardboard cutouts and displays? And they usually say display only, things like that. Like, do those ever hit the secondary market? Can you get those? Is there any way, or is it, hey, we gotta toss these as soon as the release is done or the movie's over?
You would be surprised how much those displays cost. They generally don't hit the market, especially the very large lobby ones. I have been known, I believe, in certain instances, we may have to send them back to the studios. In instances where we keep them, I feel like I've heard that some staff has taken them home, which I guess would make it an even more collectible item if you have room for one of those huge things. But I don't deal in that. I don't deal in that.
Those are, those are like, they seem like very cool talking pieces for someone's house and things like that.
You know? If you have a huge basement, that's awesome for it.
Yeah. Because there are some, like, it's not just a cardboard cutout. There are some of these displays are just, they're pretty extravagant, huh? Like, I mean, depending what the movie is.
Yeah, we had a walk-in box for Barbie for people to take photo ops.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's got to be, I mean, that, it's got to be a collectible. That one has to be cool.
Yeah, that one, I'm sure, that's one of the ones that I bet we had to send back to the studio.
Yeah.
I know for Twister, I don't know if we have it at any of our locations, but they've had a wind machine you walk in for the new Twisters movie coming out this summer. You know, there's a lot of different cool ones. We go to these different conventions throughout the year, and our biggest one is in April. It's called CinemaCon. And we, last year or this past year, Jay Towers came and sort of tagged along with us on it and did stuff with us. But at those ones, you can see a lot of the coolest ones that might not even hit the theaters. I know for the Gran Turismo movie that they had, there was a bunch of Gran Turismo set up there where you were not just using a controller, but it was the old style moving car arcade style game you could play. There's a lot of really cool movie merch at those conventions. And I believe anybody can buy the tickets to those. They're not cheap, but they're a really fun time. The movie stars come out for those. And that's where I see a lot of the up and coming collectibles. Sometimes I have to go behind a curtain where they're like, hey, man, I can't show you here, but come back here and I can show you. And it's a very kept under wraps thing.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, like, you, I think you were opening up a lot of eyes and ears to an industry people didn't maybe realize. And because, I mean, collecting, you can collect anything, but sometimes you get hyper focused in certain areas and you forget there is, it's all over the place, you know, like, and you can, you'd be surprised, people, how much of this stuff can resell if you're into the flipping and investing and things like that, or just collecting long term. And then maybe down the line of all of a sudden, you know, hey, that's worth a ton of money all of a sudden. It's not something maybe we foreshadowed or saw coming, but it could be down the line, depending on what happens, you know, through history, and becomes nostalgic for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look at my whiskey collection, my wine collection too. <Yeah. laughs> Like, there's so many different collectibles out there, and it's just, what means something to you means the same to someone else or more. So if you have a strong feeling about it, it's probably collectible.
So locally, though, would you say that we have the Michigan or the Midwest? Do we get more items? Do you find people more collecting out here? Do you find it more of a these things are sought after than other areas in the country? Or did we get more? Do we offer more here?
I think Michigan's one of the best areas for movie theaters in general. We're sort of, I've heard us been referred to as an anomaly in the loyalty we have from our guests and the amount of people coming through our doors. So with that, again, the volume speaks. So I'm grateful to our Michiganders, or I recently heard Michiganians, or is that right?
We say
I feel like I heard it on your radio
show,
station.
All right. My show is Michiganders.
yeah. Michiganders. That's how I was raised too. You know, I'm really grateful to the guests out there, because they are what enable me to be able to purchase all of these really cool goods that I guarantee you're not going to see at some of these other states, which don't embrace movie theaters as much as they should.
So one last thing before I let you go, because my main job 9 to 5 focuses mostly on sports. Okay. So, and you know that, Dante, I got to ask you about showing sporting events and things like that at Imagine Theaters. How does that work? How has that been going? Can you inform and let the people know about that?
Yeah, we have. We were the first in the country, I believe, to introduce a sports lounge in one of our theaters. So we converted our Royal Oak location we have a theater that is specifically converted into a Vegas style sports book. It is not a sports book. Legally, I do have to say that. It is a sports lounge. We partnered with Caesars, though, and it is open to any guests that want to just come in, sit down, watch any games. We have games broadcasting every day there. It's a fun time. You can sit down, get your concessions, and just enjoy. And we have lots of special events. Any big sporting event that'll be in there, you'll see it packed. So it's, and it is available for rent as well. So it's a really fun time. We actually also just opened a podcast studio in our Birmingham Palladium location. So that's something going as well. We have a lot of fun stuff. I love working for this company. I came from sports service before this. So I was part of the opening team at Little Caesars Arena, but I never saw myself working for a movie theater, but this company, the reason I moved to them and love working for them is because of how innovative they are and how we're always on the forefront of what's happening in not only movie related stuff, but just entertainment as a whole. We're always looking to incorporate as much as we can. I know we've been getting more and more of these of exclusive screenings with actors. We just did one with Helen Hunt in Twister. We had Ernie Hudson in and did a Ghostbuster screening with him. We've done some Michael Myers ones. Like, we have all this fun stuff happening at Imagine.
So what about pay-per-view events? Do you guys, how's that work? And do you guys do anything with those at Imagine?
Yeah, we are, again, we're one of the leading chains when it comes to pay-per-view, like UFC and such. We definitely do show those. They might not be at every location always, but we have been growing based on popularity on those as well. So we don't necessarily need a sports lounge there. We also worked with the NCAA last year to be able to legally show games of theirs. So we're looking forward to hopefully getting another deal with them in place there. I think it was widely reported last year how we had we're going to be showing the Lions playoff games for anybody for free. And then the NFL came down on us and said, no, you're not going to. So we didn't. But we are looking more and more whenever we can partner with some of these sporting teams and companies. We are looking to do it and bring it to our guests because there's nothing better than seeing it on the big screen.
Well, so that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, I know this because working firsthand in sports for so many years that the NFL, they control everything they possibly can. Like if they can make money off it, or they don't want else making money off of them without them getting a piece of pie, they're going to get involved. And legally, they have a lot of control over a lot of things. When you show something on the big screen, it's different than showing something in the sports lounge, right? That's what you want to differentiate. Like this, that's where the line is, right?
Yes. Yep.
So let's say you could watch the NBA finals, the NHL finals. You can go to the sports lounge on that side and you'll have it on the TVs, whatever. But if it were to be the main theater, that'd be something different, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And so that's where the Lions playoff game kind of came, like where the NFL said, no, you can't show it in there or whatever.
Yeah. Even though we weren't charging anything for
yes.
it. They want a piece of the pie, the non-existent pie we had.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So, but for pay-per-view though, would that be like, hey, I just buying a ticket like to a movie theater, like you guys charge for tickets, or how would that work? Like for a UFC fight, for a big boxing fight or something like that?
Yeah. So we do have to charge for tickets on the pay-per-view events. I'm not exactly sure how much we do, but that is definitely a charged event. Usually
and that's in the movie theater portion, or that the sports lounge movie theater. Okay.
Yep. And with, NCAA partners with us, they sort of force us to charge again. Like you said, it's part of them needing a piece of the pie. So we try to keep those charges to a minimum. Uh-huh. And it's all based upon the partnership. But we're just grateful that they're finally coming to the table and wanting us to show their content.
Awesome. Awesome. Dante, I appreciate it so much. You've taught me a lot. Hopefully you've taught the listeners a lot, educated us, and opened our eyes to a bunch of more collectibles that we can start, you know, unfortunately spending more money on. We're trying to save money right now, Dante, but
I apologize.
I tell people, you know, collect what you can afford. You know, this is a marathon, not a sprint, and if you love it, you know, you can't go wrong. But also collect within your means.
Yep. And it's like a bank, you know, only people will always pay for what they want.
Dante, I appreciate you coming on. We'll have you on again. All right,
thanks a lot, Kang. Have a good one.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening. As always, download and subscribe and let somebody know about it. As always, keep collecting.